This is the Ag Queen Podcast. This podcast explores the agriculture industry with the movers and shakers of those shaping it. Here's your host, Lori Boyer.
Today, my guest is Bob Mativi. He is the incoming president of the National Potato Council and is a farmer on the Western Slope in Colorado in the San Luis Valley. So on that, Bob, tell us more about yourself and your background.
So grew up there in Brighton, small family farm, went to college at CSU, and that's where I met my wife, Gail, and her dad, and Carl, and had asked us to come and join his farm. He had five daughters, so it was a great opportunity for us to come to the San Luis Valley and begin working with him and learning about growing potatoes. So right now, after we moved down here, we farmed with another son-in-law and another sister, Carla, and things changed a little bit. And then it was Carl and Carla and Gail and I, and our two boys joined us and our nephew, Matthew Smart, in the interim. And so we lost Carla here about a year and a half or so, almost 2 years ago. So now our farming operation, Worley Family Farms, consists of Gail and I and our two sons, Grant and Reed, and our nephew, Matthew Smart. So we raise certified seed potatoes and commercial potatoes. We have our own tissue culture lab and greenhouse where we produce disease-free mini tubers that will then go on to our seed farm. And then from there, they'll be grown out in several generations and produce commercial potatoes. And then we operate our own packing shed, Highland Potato Company, in conjunction with Blue Sky Farms.
So how many acres of potatoes does that equate to?
So on our farm, we grow about 1,900 to 2,000 acres of potatoes.
Do you grow any other crops or livestock?
No livestock. We do grow a little bit of barley for seed and some quinoa. We do a partnership on some lettuce and lease out some ground for spinach production, and then a lot of cover crop. Since we've been in such a drought situation since 2002, we've had to cut back on high water use crops like our barley. We used to grow quite a bit of barley, but growing a lot of cover crop now, and that's for water savings as well as improving our soil health.
Bob, being in Colorado myself, I do know the San Luis Valley is the heart of the potato growing region for the state. So tell me about growing potatoes there.
Well, we're surrounded by mountains, number one, so, and our elevation is about 7,600 feet. So we're pretty well isolated. We don't have a lot of the pest problems, insect problems that they do in other areas. We do, it's a high mountain desert, basically. So our climate is dry, which we don't have a lot of fungal pathogens either for growing potatoes. So those things combined help us grow a good crop of potatoes without using as many pesticides as they do in some other areas. Our challenge right now is water. Probably second to that is labor. But it's well suited for potatoes. We have good, well-drained soils. Most of our water is pumped out of our aquifers. We use our surface water to recharge our aquifers so that most of it's all under center pivot irrigation and pumped. So that's very manageable.
Are there different varieties of potatoes that you grow?
Yes. We used to grow probably about 20 or 25 different varieties. Now we're kind of streamlining that down. The biggest majority of our crop is russets. We do grow some yellows and some reds. We don't do many specialties anymore. We used to do some specialties, some purples and red flesh reds, and just kind of trying to streamline things a little bit.
Where do your potatoes go to?
They'll go all over the United States and into Mexico. The RPE is our marketing arm. They are based out of Wisconsin. Their Colorado office is in our shed, basically. So they do all of the marketing of our crop for us.
And then talk to me a little bit about your affiliation now with the National Potato Council. How did you get involved?
So I've been on the Colorado Potato Administrative Committee for a number of years and then got involved with the National Potato Council as a board member and wanted to be more involved and asked to be on the executive committee that's appointed by or voted on by the rest of the board of directors. So was able to get on to the executive committee where I started out as vice president of finance and moved into the vice president of environmental affairs. We have several different committees as part of the executive committee. And in February, I became the president.
What are some of the goals or things that you would like to accomplish while you are president? And it's a one-year term or two?
No, it's a one-year term.
So what are some things that you would like to do while president?
Well, I don't know if I have that many personal goals on there. You know, we have such a great staff on the National Potato Council that they make our job pretty easy. But the council itself is working on a number of issues that we lay out and bring forth to our congressional delegates when we're back at our Washington summit in February. But we're always dealing with trade issues. Of course, Farm Bill is top of mind, trying to work on getting something done there. Continuing with our expanded trade efforts, working on labor bills. It's kind of a constant battle. Right now, the dietary guidelines are being renewed. So nutritional value of potatoes in those federal policies is important to us as those guidelines are being put together, because there has been a bit of a movement to classify or reclassify potatoes as a grain, which is not scientifically supported. It is a vegetable, and it's America's number one most favorite vegetable. So those are some of the issues that we're kind of working on. We always are. Right now, since I was chairman of the Environmental Affairs Committee, why there are several environmental issues in terms of pesticide regulations and things that we're kind of pushing back on, because we need to maintain those tools for producers to use. There's often that perception out there that farmers are using a lot of chemicals, and that's not always the case. That's a misconception. And so we push back on some of those things. Another one of our big missions is just trying to get more funding for research through the appropriations process. So that's for our potato research and potato breeding programs, because as we confront various disease issues within our crops, breeding and research are the keys to solving some of those problems and getting more disease-resistant varieties out to producers is important. And there's a lot of different issues that we're dealing with all the time.
Bob, how about a little 101 when it comes to farming potatoes?
Well, a majority of our labor is utilized in our packing sheds. We don't quite run year-round, but some of the sheds here do. There's an increasing movement towards more robotics and automation within the packing process. We have some optical sorters and things like that. On the farm, planting and harvest are probably the biggest times when we need additional labor. We're in the process right now of cutting our seed and getting ready to plant here in late April. So that takes additional people. It's a mechanical process, but you still need people doing some sorting and hauling to and away from the cutters. And again, as we get into harvest, we need truck drivers and sorters and equipment operators. So those are our biggest challenges there as far as the labor force. But again, the more year-round need is in our packing sheds.
Bob, what else do we need to know about when it comes to the potato industry and or the National Potato Council?
Ooh, that's a good question. Maintaining our markets, I think, as far as the National Potato Council is concerned, is opening new markets, because export opportunities are probably our greatest opportunity for growth and movement of our product. We're working pretty hard to try to get fresh potato access into Japan. We're trying to maintain our access into Mexico, which has been good. There's, as we look at on a national basis, you know, other countries that frozen product is shipped to, that's important. All the issues that I mentioned, you know, are really important. Here in Colorado, I think one of the things we're struggling with right now is potato virus Y, and being able to keep a strong seed program and industry going here in the valley. It's challenging because our area is so intermingled with commercial and seed growers that it's a challenge to keep seed clean. So we're working on trying to improve our seed law that will have some different, will require some testing on some replant lots and things like that to help reduce some of our long-term goal is reduce the amount of virus inoculum that's floating around.
Bob, earlier you mentioned potatoes get shipped all over the United States. Do most of the potatoes grown in the U.S. stay in the U.S. or are they exported?
About 20% of our potatoes in the U.S. are exported. Okay. So if you're driving along looking at a field, about one in every five rows of potatoes is bound for export. In the Pacific Northwest, obviously a lot of processing up there. Those are going to Pacific Rim countries, things like that. Colorado's main export opportunity is Mexico.
How are profit margins looking right now for growers?
Not as good as we have experienced in the last couple of years. We had some pretty good years. Supplies were in line with demand, so we were able to do well. This year, we're a little oversupplied in the market, so it's a tough year.
Any other notes? Any other things you wanted to mention here today that I haven't asked about?
Well, something that we did a couple of years ago, the Michigan State University has done a couple of studies for us, and just looking at what the economic impact is of the potato industry. And so, you know, it's providing over 700,000 jobs. A little over $1 billion in economic benefit. And then we came and did another study this year. They did another study that how much our export market is contributing. And I misspoke when I said $1 billion. It's over $100 billion economic impact to the U.S. As we look at the value of our export markets, that's another $4.7 billion we're contributing to the U.S. economy. So pretty important numbers there in terms of the potato industry itself. You know, we're really trying to stay focused on some of these issues that, as I spoke to earlier, get a little bit misconstrued with the dietary guidelines. A lot of people don't realize about the Farm Bill that over 80% of that is nutrition programs. Very little of it actually gets back through farm programs. Just trying to think of some other things, but those are the main things. It's always a busy time for us, and we have our big potato expo in January, this coming January 2025. We're going to be in Orlando for Potato Expo. We just came off one of the biggest potato expos we've ever experienced. It was in Austin, Texas. Most exhibitors and most participants we've had there. So we're pretty excited about that. And we had our Washington Summit at the end of February, and that was a very successful event. We'll be having our summer board meeting in Fort Collins this year. We generally have it in the state of the president. So we're going to Fort Collins this year and last week in June. So that should be a good event, and we're looking forward to getting a lot of people there.
Once again, Bob Mativi, my guest, a farmer in the San Luis Valley, which is in the western part of Colorado, and he is also the incoming president of the National Potato Council.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Ag Queen Podcast with your host, Lori Boyer.